to get my other Bible out of there. All right. Shalom, everybody. Welcome to Rishon Messianic Bible College, where the intelligence. Now, we're not going to get into all that, but praise God. It's great to have everybody. And I have with me a couple of things I need to show you. And today is a preview of the third test. Like I said, we're racing the rapture. We're trying to get out of here with the degree on the wall. So when they come in to your home and they find you gone, they can go, look, this person even studied Hebrew. No wonder they're gone. So we have the final test, and the test is our third test that we will be taking. And after you take the third test, then after that, we'll give you instructions on how to make a teaching video and send it to me, okay? And the teaching video can be anywhere from 15 minutes to 30 minutes, but you have to be able to teach on something that you've learned in the class. And it would have to include, of course, some Hebrew knowledge of what you've learned as well, okay? It doesn't have to be difficult. I say always find one that you really love, that you really grasp, and that you really can explain and teach to someone else, and that'll be your finals. And then after you do your final, and then you'll receive one of these. This is my wife's, and no matter what anybody says, she earned it 100%, even though the professor really liked her a lot. Okay? So this is it. It's Rishon Messianic Bible College, Long Beach, California. And Rishon Messianic Bible College, upon the recommendation of the ministry staff and the virtue and authority of the state, vested in Soldiers of Christ Community Church and the state of California. And it says, my wife was Andrea Armstrong, and it says, who has satisfactorily pursued the study and passed examinations, complied with all requirements thereof, is granted an Associate of Arts degree in Hebrew Biblical Theology, okay? With all the rights and privileges pertaining to the award in the state of California. And this graduation happened September 2017 was this graduation. So I think it's a beautiful associate degree. They said they gave us some criteria for what we needed for associate degree. We have met those, but this was not an accredited associate degree for a university here because we didn't have enough students, but we do have the criteria. It is, as you can see, almost a two-year program. Okay? So this is what we want to get done, and we want to get as many graduates as we possibly can and get you guys ready to go. So here we go. I'm going to pray us in. Today is what we call a preview of the final test class. So we're previewing things that are on the final test that you should know as a Hebrew student, okay? And remember, it is more important to know the Bible through your Hebrew study than to learn Hebrew and not learn the Bible, because the purpose of the Hebrew is to teach you the Torah, to teach you the Bible. The Bible, there are a lot of people that know the language of Hebrew but don't know a thing about the Bible. And how could you possibly? Because the whole language consists of biblical knowledge. Okay? So I'm glad you guys watched also the DNA, Hebrew, the DNA of creation. And who sent me a copy of something else? I think it was Lori. I'm not sure, but I think it was Lori. She sent me a copy of a guy teaching about just what we were talking about. DNA is the Hebrew is the DNA of creation, And scientifically, he proved how this is possible, and showed the letters in the creation. And so it's amazing. God is, the Hebrew language is amazing. God is amazing. And every day I'm just more awed by how incredible God is and how he's able to tolerate us. It's because being on that level, you know, it's like, wow. So anyway, we're going to pray in, and then we're going to go over the final exam and things that we should know. Okay? I want everybody to do well on this test, so I am going to cover things that will be on the test that I want you to know.
Pastor, all right. You can know that if they miss exams one or two, to email me and I'll send it to them.
Yes. If you like to get caught up and you've missed exam two, we're not going to go back to one, okay? If you missed exam two, okay, we will send you exam two so you can take it before you take exam three. Or you could take it after you take exam three, but we need all three exams in, or else it doesn't meet the criteria that.
So if they missed exam number one, they cannot retake it?
No. If you took exam one.
But they missed it.
If they miss exam one, I don't know if we could go back that far. Do you want to go? If Pastor Ben says you can go back and take exam one, so. Two, and three,
yeah.
Okay, and then do your final teaching tape, then we can still do it. Okay, so if you want to catch up and do this, it's fine, but we'll see, because that seems pretty hard to do.
Because they need all three in order to.
Right, that means they'd have to go over 30-something videos to be able to get all of the answers.
If you really want it. Send them to the website I just put in the chat the website address for them to find all 35 lessons.
Oh, yeah, you have it. Okay, so on S4CTroops.com is our website. When you click on Rashan Messianic Bible College, you can go through there and go through each class, all 35 classes. Today we'll make 35. You could go through all 35 classes and get kind of caught up if you want to learn, if you want to be able to take the test and get caught up. So, but if you've taken tests one and two, you're already qualified. If you take in test two, If you miss test two and you want to go back and take it so you can take test three, you're more than welcome. So we just want to get people graduated, and we'd like to get this thing done before the rapture, and I don't know how much, so I'm going to at least be able to say I tried. Yeah. I'll apologize to you on the way up if I don't do it, all right? So praise God. All right, let's get started here. Let's say the Lord's Prayer, because I need practice on that. Well, I need practice in English. I forgot the Lord's Prayer in English. I was doing a service, and I forgot the Lord's Prayer in English because I always say it in Hebrew, even when I'm praying at home. Okay, so let's bow our heads and just thank the Lord for this day and for blessing us, Father God, and for giving us all this information about you so that we know that you are a real God. You are a true God. You are an intelligent God. You are a God of design. And God, you designed even a letter pattern to express who you are and what you're all about. So we just thank you for that, Father God. Avanu shaba shaba in yit kadeshimcha. Tavo melhutecha yi asero sanaka. בארץ כאשר נעשה בשמיים. תן לנו היום לחם חוקנו, וסלח לנו את אשמתנו, כאשר סולחים אנחנו לאשר אשמה לנו, ואל תביאנו לידי מסע, כי אם הצילנו מן הרע, כי לך הממלכה והגבורה והתפארת לעולמי לעולמים. Amen. Beshem Yeshua HaMashiach, Anachnu Tefillim, and let's get started. Okay. What I want you to know for this test are a few things. One thing you're going to have to be able to do is to count in Hebrew. So you have to be able to do like this, what I've written on the board, Ephes, Echad, Stein, Shalosh, Arba, Chamesh, Shesh, Sheva, Smirne, Tisha, Estrei. Okay? And that's just 1 through 10 in Hebrew. I want everybody to be able to at least count in 10. Because then once you've learned how, you know, once you learn how to count to 10, basically you can master everything else, because everything is based off of learning the first 10. And then, you know, astray would be, if it was 11, it would be a stem, I mean, achad astray, stem astray, shalosh astray, because that would be 13, 14, you know, arba astray, 15, chamesh astray, like that. So it's like 15. Then you get to 20 and it's stream, okay? Because now it's, it this means 10 twice, right? So stream, astray, stream, 10 twice, that means now. It's a stream ve'achad, a stream ve'stein, a stream ve'shalosh. So then it's 21, 22. So then you can learn how to count in Hebrew. So I want you to be able to at least count in Hebrew up to 10, and that will be on your test, okay? Then we should know some common Hebrew words like tov, Elohim, and we should know the numerical value of those words like that, okay? And it says, what are the 3 numerical dates that lead to the crossing of the Red Sea? Okay, so that's a very good question. What are the 3 numerical dates that lead to the crossing of the Red Sea? Because what day did they actually cross the Red Sea? It's knowable because it's in the book of Exodus. So you know the exact night of the Passover, okay? And you know what they had to do before the Passover, and then you know what the 3-day journey was, okay? And the 3-day journey led them to the crossing of the Red Sea. So you would know that. And if you don't know that, you can go to Exodus chapter 12 and you could find out and read through that whole crossing scene, and you'll find out the 3 numerical dates that lead to the crossing of the Red Sea. Okay. Then, by knowing the numerical dates of the crossing of the Red Sea, you should know that crossing all had to do with the Lamb of God dying on the cross, right? Because the crossing of the Red Sea and Passover night is all talking about Yeshua. So since Yeshua is mimicking like typologies, you should automatically know that Jesus is going to mimic the exact same 3 days of the Passover event all the way up to the crossing of the Dead Sea, of the Red Sea, in his life before he was resurrected. So each 3 days are perfectly lined up so that we know one is talking about the other. Okay. Then on the day that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave, there are 3 other events in the scriptures. Okay. There are 3 other events in the scripture that happen on the same day that Jesus Christ resurrected, okay? And those dates are to bring into focus that Jesus' resurrection day had to do. Okay, we'll say this. What happened? What does the name for Mount Ararat? What is Mount Ararat? And what day did the Noah's boat rest on Mount Ararat? Then from that, you'll know, okay, Resurrection Day, and you'll also know Red Sea Crossing Day. You know what I mean? So you're going to know all 3, okay? So if I'm being too vague and you're not getting the message, I'll go to the book and then we'll go over the message so that you can see. I'm going to take this jacket off, Pastor Ben. I was thinking that I could do it, but it's hot in this jacket. Okay. Maybe I have it. Yeah, here we go. All right. Okay. Excuse the attire. It's raining here today, so I wore that big jacket and didn't wear a blazer. Okay, so here we are. And so the 17th of Nisan has three specific dates in the Bible, and you should know all three specific dates, okay? Now, here we go. Here's the seventh thing that you need to know. In Genesis chapter 10, they give a list of all of the people that are forming all the nations. And they give you, and then when you get to Shem, which is the Jewish line, you get to this guy named Eber, okay? So because Eber is the beginning of the Hebrew people, of the Jewish people, you should know what his name means, okay? And and why that's important, okay? And it says, then before leaving Egypt, in Exodus chapter 12, God made Nisan first, Nisan the first month of the year, okay? What number of month was it before God changed it to the first month of the year? You should know that, okay? Give the scripture that confirms it. Do you know that answer to that, Pastor Ben?
I do, but I can't repeat it.
You can't repeat it. Okay. Where in Genesis do you get the first gematria of 153? Where in Genesis can you find the first gematria of 153? Okay. And it says, give two scriptures that confirm that Christians are also 153. The 153 number in John chapter 21 represents who? Okay? And then you would have to answer those questions. So 153 is a huge number throughout Scripture. And unless you understand 153, I'm trying not to give the answer, it's very hard for you to understand why God would put 153 fish in John chapter 21. Okay, the 12th thing. Why did God use both Greek and Hebrew to write his 66 books? Okay? You tell me why you think he did. Okay? We should know, because we've been in this class. What is the numerical value of Jesus in Greek? That should be an easy answer. What is the numerical value of Yahweh in Hebrew? Here, okay, we should be able to know that. And then it says, now multiply Jesus in Greek and Yahweh in Hebrew and give us the scripture that it equals out to. Is that a hard one?
That's a good one.
That's a pretty good one. And if you don't know, we're going to give you guys a little bit of time to study this. And you can email me and ask questions and say, I'm having problems with this particular question. You never taught on this. Have we taught on these?
I think so, yes.
I think we have. Okay. The word dove in Hebrew is what numerical value? Okay, that's half of 16. And what is the numerical value of the Holy Spirit in Greek? Okay? So, dove in Hebrew and Holy Spirit in Greek, and then you should be able to give me some additional answers that help. Three more things that we need to know. What is the numerical value of the word rock in Hebrew from Deuteronomy chapter 23? What's that numerical value? Okay? Once you find that numerical value, we want you to times it times three and give us the meaning of that. And then once you find it, the word rock in Hebrew, we want you to times it times five and give us the answer to that. Don't shout out your answer. Okay. And question 19, for 5 points, Shmai Israel, what is the true meaning of this statement? Okay? Now, the beginning of the test is what we all know. What's the beginning of every test? Who says something? What is the beginning of every test that we take?
I haven't said anything yet.
Okay. The beginning of the test is always to write the 22 Hebrew letters. So you have to write out those 22 Hebrew letters and write them properly, because, and you have to write them in order, and you have to write them from right to left, not left to right, okay? Or is that this way?
It's
we're writing from here to there, okay? And so write the 22 letters, okay? And now we will send out the test. When do we want to send out the test?
I think they need a couple weeks to study, Pastor.
Do you think so?
It's a lot to cover.
Okay, as you guys are listening to this teaching today, tell me where you would like to do this study, okay? When do you think is a fair time to do this study? Because it seems like some information that we've already gone over, and we should be able to answer these questions with no problem, okay? But since we're going to go over one of the studies today, and we will find out some very important things, like let's go to Genesis chapter 6. I hope you guys were at the Bible study last night.
Quick said 1 year.
Huh? We need 1 year
before. 1 year before we take the test.
Oh man, we'll be. Is that Gary? Is that Gary, Minister Gary?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah, Pastor Gary.
He said 1 year.
You're a funny guy, Gary, but we can't do that. We'll be gone. Okay, now in Genesis chapter 6.
What verse?
We're going to start at verse 1. Okay, because in Genesis chapter, six, it says, "And it came to pass that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born unto them. And it says, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair." Who are the sons of God that saw that the daughters of men were beautiful? Okay, who are they? And it says, and they took wives for themselves as they chose. Okay, so we know that these sons of God were the fallen, were the angels that were here, and they had not fallen yet. But now at this moment is when they're about to fall, because they're choosing wives for themselves. And we know now the thing, the it's called the sons of God in Hebrew is called Benachai Elohim. Benachai Elohim has a numerical value. Because now, when you go to the book of Romans, you're going to get the same thing. It says, whosoever believes in Christ becomes the sons of God. Okay? So, we are sons of God. The angels who were here watching over us, they were sons of God. Okay? Because what is sons of God? It just means you were directly created by God, okay? This is a direct creation of God, are the sons of God. And you are not a son of God until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Lord and Savior. You are a descendant of Adam, okay? You are a descendant of Adam, but you are not a son of God until you're the sons of Adam. Until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because you're that the creation that Adam of Adam is a fallen creation, and that's not what God created. God created a complete being with spirit, body, and soul. Because of Adam's sin, now people are born spirit and body. I mean, they're born with body and soul, but with a dead spirit that needs to be regenerated by accepting Jesus Christ. Then you get the spirit. Then you become what the Bible calls an Elohim, which means now you're a three-part being in one, right? because we are made in the likeness of Elohim.
Amen.
Which is a three part in one. Okay. So, the B'nai HaElohim and the children of God are one and the same. Okay.
Amen.
Now, I want to talk about when these sons of God began to sin. Jude tells us that they had to do something before they could sin. Okay? So I'm going to go to the book of Jude, and it's going to tell us, and angels can still do the same thing today. Real angels can do the same thing today. Those fallen angels, they're trying to invent DNA so that they can have a human body, but real angels still have the ability to take on a human body. So here it is. It says, we're in Jude, and it's only one chapter, one. And I think we're in verse 6. And it says, and the angels who did not keep their position of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with for everlasting change for the judgment of the great day. So you see how that reads? They left their home. Let's see how the King James reads, because, you know, we got so many cool. I love the King James as well, as much as I love the, not as much as I love, I mean, I love it more than the NIV, actually. But, you know, I realize both of them are not the original Hebrew or the original Greek. So here it is, in Jude, same verse. If I can. Okay. Wow. Okay, Jude, chapter 6. It says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, okay, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for judgment of the great day. So it says that they had a proper domain, okay, and they left their own abode. Now, in the Greek, it says they left their orchiterium, or if you want to know the word for skin in Hebrew, it's or, which means a light. Okay?
Wow.
So the Greek plays off the Hebrew and calls it an orchiterium. They left their original bodies and took on human bodies so that they could take on a human form so that they could indulge in this sin. Okay? Mm. Now, how does that correlate with us? Because when you become a Christian, you become what? A B'nai HaElohim. You become a son of God. Yes.
Sandy, my Bible says their proper sphere.
Their proper sphere?
Sphere. S-P-H-E-R.
Come on, Pastor Ben. You don't know I'm this. What's a sphere?
Sphere. Their realm.
Their realm, okay? And that's what I mean. It's like they're leaving. I like the word that the Greek and the Hebrew use, which says the or, because it is the body that they lived in. OK,
amen.
They left the body that they were supposed to be in. That was their sphere. OK, that was their abode. And they left that body, put on a human fleshly body, and then they indulged in sin. Right.
Yes.
If you're a Christian. Now, listen, if there were sons of God then and we're sons of God now, are you saying we can't take off our garment? The scripture says, keep your garment with you, right? Because God realizes that you have the ability to take off your garment and say, I'm taking off this garment so that I can indulge in sin.
Free will.
Okay? Free will. Okay? So when you take off your garment so that you can indulge in sin, you leave yourself. The only difference between us and the B'nai HaElohim of their time was that we have a Redeemer. So if you took off your orchidarium and you sin, because you're born again or because you're a child of God, you can repent and be reinstated. And it says he is just and he'll forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So now you can come back into relationship with God. The angels in Genesis, they have no redeemer. So therefore, when they sinned, there was no forgiveness for them, even though they wrote a letter and asked God, can you please take this letter to God and ask him to forgive us? We realize we made a mistake. There's no redeemer for you, okay? But we have a redeemer. So us being B'nai HaElohim, we have an advantage. We can now accept Christ. We can now be forgiven and then put back on our garment so that we're now once again ready for the wedding feast, okay? Because you need the garment to be ready for the wedding feast. Now, that's a whole big thing. You're saying we can lose the Holy Spirit? If you persist in sin, yes, you can. And I'll show you that in Ezekiel chapter 9, that if there is a temple and there's too much sin going in there, God was very patient in allowing his spirit to stay in that temple while the priests were sinning. But at one time, God said, enough. Take my spirit out of this temple. And he said, the spirit left the temple and moved to the outer court and moved further away from the temple until the temple did not have the Shekinah glory inside of it. And we are that temple. We are a temple of God. And his Shekinah glory lives inside of us. So, you know, people won't sin in a church building because they have respect for it. But we'll sin not understanding that the Ruach HaKodesh or the Shekinah glory lives inside of our body. So if there's any place that I don't want sin is inside of this body.
Amen.
Okay, because I know it is a holy place and the Holy Spirit lives there. Okay.
Amen.
So very complicated thing what God has been able to do for us and to even provide a way to keep us holy, even in a flawed state, which we are here on this earth. Believe me, repentance is a gift.
Yes.
It is not your privilege.
Amen.
Repentance is a gift. Ask any angel that's in hell right now and he'll say, you got to repent? Wow, that is awesome. I would love to be able to repent. They can't do it. Okay. So we understand now that the B'nai HaElohim are the 153. Okay. Now we're going to go to John chapter 21, and that's where you get this big thing that happens. And then, you know, I read this for years as a young Christian, and because you don't understand Hebrew, you just go, they caught 153 fish. Cool for them. But does God write his book like that? Come on. Now that we know Hebrew,
right,
we know God. If he puts a number in the book, you better find out what that number's for. Okay? And so God says, so the Lord says here in 21, as they go fishing, and I love the way how they go fishing, because when they go fishing, the first thing in verse 21 it tells you is that it says, after Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Okay, let me tell you little interesting things that the Holy Spirit does. The Sea of Tiberias is Galilee, okay? Who calls it Tiberias? Gentiles and Greeks. But every Jew says it's the Sea of Galilee. But because this is a story about the church and the seven churches, then he uses the name Tiberias and not the Jewish name Galilee to let you know these seven are representing a Gentile church.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
So he says this by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened that Simon Peter, okay, that's one, Thomas called Dudamus, two, Nathanael from Canaan, 3. The sons of Zebedee, he had 2 of them, so that's 4 and 5. And 2 others were together. Okay, and then we had 2 more. How many is on the boat? 7, right? And he said, I am going fishing, says Simon Peter, right? So Simon Peter, they go out fishing, and there's 7 in the boat. And now they're out fishing, and then they see this guy at the shore, right? And he says, have you caught any fish? And what do they say? No. Then he says, throw your net on the other side and you'll find some. This is how they met Jesus, right? They recognize, oh my goodness, it's the Messiah. It's Yeshua, right? Because this is how they originally met them. Okay. So now listen how it talks about this, though, because it says here. It says here, now watch this in verse 7. It says, then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off. Do you hear that? Now they're trying to show you something. The Lord came, and here's somebody who had taken their garment off. He had to put it back on. Wow. And he said, for he had taken it off and jumped back and jumped into the water. Okay? So what is he saying?
Went back to the world.
This is somebody who took off his garment, went back into the world, and now God is giving you an example that when he found out, oh, it's the Lord, I got to put my garment back on and get out of the water and put my garment back on, okay? So he's back on the boat. He's got his garment back on. Guess what now? He's ready to meet the Lord, okay? That's what you need to be able to meet the Lord. You got to come out of the world, the water, and you got to keep your garment on, okay? Just typologies that God uses to speak to us in the scriptures, okay? So it says he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and he had jumped into the water. It says the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, and they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it. They haven't even brought, it says fish and bread on it. Mm-hmm. So who's cooking? The Yeshua, Lord. Okay? Amen. Jesus is cooking the meal. If you read the book of Samson, if you read the story of Samson, one thing Samson had to do was to prepare the meal for his bride. Yeah. Because he's representing a Yeshua typology. So he goes and he says, I'm preparing the meal for our 7-day feast. Samson is saying, yep. Jesus is here showing you that before the 123 get to the shore, he's already there preparing the meal. The meal is already there. When you get to the wedding feast, the meal will already be prepared. Who's going to get to the feast? The 7 that were in the boat. Where was the boat? In the water, okay? In the world. But now you're taking those 7 out of the world. You're taking them to the kingdom, and the meal is already prepared, okay? And who are they? They are the 153. Who is that? Straightly created, directly created by God. These are the sons of God. So you have a rapture scenario in the book of John, chapter 21, that completely gives you a story of a rapture taking place, okay? There's so many rapture scenarios from typologies from the Old Testament and the New Testament that I really can't find that people who don't understand our blessed hope are still trying to fight against the rapture. But they'll find out soon, yeah, right? Okay, now, what you just learned, what I just taught you is part of your test, okay? because you need to know about that 153. Now I want to take you to another Bible study. How much time I have, Pastor Ben?
20 minutes.
Okay, now I'm going to take you to another story. And this story is in Exodus chapter 12. Wait a minute, let's not go to Exodus chapter 12. Let's go to Genesis chapter 8 first. Okay, so see, now you'll be able to go back to this and find out some answers about 153. Now, I want to show you this. Okay, now watch this. Okay, it says here in Genesis chapter 8, and God remembered Noah, and all the wild animals and the livestock were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the water receded. And it says, now the spring of the deep and the floodgates of the heaven had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky, and the water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the water had gone down. On the 17th day, what day did Jesus get resurrected from the grave? On the 17th of Nisan. Okay, on the 17th day, okay, of the seventh month, the ark came to a rest on Mount Ararat. Ararat means reverse the curse. But it says on the seventh month, okay? We know Nisan today to be what? The first month of the year. But here, this is before Moses, okay? The ark is before Moses. He doesn't make Nisan the first month until they come out of Egypt.
Oh, that's right.
So now it says here, it was the 17th day, but it was the seventh month. Okay? So, and if Ararat means reverse the curse, when God switched the seventh month to the first month, okay, that means it's actually the same month here. Okay? So Nisan was the seventh month. Now it's the first month. But here was the Nisan 17. The boat rested on Mount Ararat. And Jesus Christ resurrected on the 17th of Nisan. And what did he do? He reversed the curse. Okay? Getting you ready for the test. This is a preview day. Don't get bored if you're already smart and you know all this stuff. Okay? Now, since we know that, now we want to go to Exodus chapter 12. Okay.
Say it again, Pastor.
Our Exodus chapter 12. And we're going to start at verse 1. Watch this great command of God. This is God. Now, after God does this, he never switches this back. I want you guys to be aware of that, okay? And listen what he says. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be the first month, okay? The first month of the year, okay? Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family and for his household. So God says this month is now going to be the first month of the year. Okay. After he does this, I want anybody to show me where he changed this. That he changed it back to the seventh month, or he changed it to the 12th month, or the first month of the year, or changed it to January. Okay, so this is what I'm saying. If the first month is Nisan, and Nisan is in the spring, okay, that means that God is starting his month when? In the spring. From this day forward, God is starting his month in Nisan, which is in spring, okay? So, spring becomes the first month of the year.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to, you can start the first of your year in the winter, but that's not God's rule.
Right.
And he never made the first of the year in winter. So you can't use January as the first month of the year. So everybody goes, Happy New Year, Happy New Year, it's January 1st. You're completely going against God's rule. Because God said, no, first month of the year is in spring and it starts in Nisan. So while everybody is waiting for 2018 or 2019, well, 2018, saying this 2019, everyone who knows God knows that 2019 can't begin until spring, okay? And so we know that the whole world is still in 2018 because God said so, okay? You can use Gregorian calendar and use the Pope's grand knowledge of demons and worship as much as you want, but it's never going to be the first month of the year, okay? Amen. The first month of the year is in Nisan, and at that time we will start the first month of the year this spring, and then that'll be 2019. And the spring doesn't end before May 14th. I'm going to check that out because I want to see where May 14th is as far as the spring is, because we're looking for a rapture.
Amen.
Okay, so now he says, take a lamb on the 10th day of the month. If you go to the New Testament, you'll see that Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem on a donkey on the 10th day of Nisan. Mm-hmm. Wow. So, and they're supposed to take a lamb on the 10th day. Okay, so there's the lamb on the 10th day. Then it says in verse 6, take care of them, what? The lambs, until the 14th day of the month, when all of the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. On the 14th day, Jesus Christ died at twilight on the 14th day of the month, right? So there we have that. Okay, and it says, and then take some of the blood, and then they put blood on the doorpost, and now you've got blood on the door. Who's the door? Jesus. So on the 14th of Nisan, there was blood on what? The door. Jesus. Okay, so there we have that. All right. And so now we continue. If you continue on in this book, in Exodus, it starts telling you the three-day journey. And it'll say, this happened in the morning. Then it'll say in verse 29, at midnight, the Lord struck down the first. Let me see here. How did we do this? Okay, here we go. In 13, verse 17, you'll see that was the 17th. And then, so it's counting all the days from in chapter 13. To the count as they left Egypt, the first day, and then in 13, verse 17 gives you the 14th of Nisan, and then in 14, in 13, verse 20, it gives you the 15th of Nisan, 14, and then it gives you all the dates. Then when you get to the 17th of Nisan, this is when the Egyptians come and they wait overnight, and then they cross on the 17th of Nisan. So the Passover, the crossing over, happened on the 17th of Nisan. Now Israel still practices their Passover on the 14th, but we practice Resurrection Day on the 17th, okay, which is Nisan. So either or, we're absolutely correct. One thing we absolutely do know, it ain't Easter.
Oh,
all right. Who is... someone asked me, what's wrong with Easter? Easter is the name of a female goddess that they sacrifice children to. How is still called Easter to this day? And I'll wait till that time. But I always send out, these witches are celebrating Easter with their children, and they're all in there painting eggs. And they have up all their witches' signs, and they're asking people to come celebrate Easter with them, because even witches know that Easter is a pagan god. But only Christians still call, we still call it Easter. I don't know how we're going to get out of that. But that's it. Okay, so that is the other thing, that major thing that you need to know in these scriptures.
5 minutes.
Let's see if there's one more thing here. And I think that one other thing would be Deuteronomy chapter 23, and you'll have to look up. every time that it uses the word the rock, the Zohar, okay? And then do the numerical value on the Zohar, and then you'll then it gives you instructions of multiplying it and finding out who the rock really is. And so we're going to send this out. When do you think we should send it out, Pastor Ben?
How long are you going to give them to take it? Like a couple of weeks to do it?
Yeah, we'll give them a couple of weeks. Why don't we send it out as soon as possible and give them... send it out this weekend, and we'll give you a couple of weeks to finish it. As soon as you're a couple of weeks to finish it, if we're not raptured, we'll take the test, and that'll be it. All you have to do then is just do a video of us, and while then we'll find out all the people that have done all the work and are prepared and ready. And I wish we could have a graduation service here at the church, or if this isn't, this wouldn't be big enough for a graduation. We would have to get a bigger place. So, but then we'll have a graduation service or something, and everything will go well. So praise God. I really want to thank everybody for taking the class. Like I said, we're in a race. So I'm praying that we be able to finish the class. Well, I'm not praying. I'm praying we don't get to be able to finish the class. But if we do, that'll be good. But if we're in heaven, like I said, we'll talk about it on the way up. Praise God. Amen. All right. Let's pray out. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for all support of the church. And for the many people that we're able to help because of people supporting the church. We never had this before, okay? We want you to know, okay? Because some people be like, thank you for your donations. No, God used you to keep this church alive, yeah. Okay? Because this is what God said. There's a lot of people in your church. I have to get rid of them, Pastor Sandy, because they are taking medicine and they don't want to get well, and it's just, you're just overworking. You're completely, and he says, I'm going to take them out of the church. And he took all of these people out of the church.
All of them.
And then we was like, okay, then how? God said, don't worry. I'll be able, the church will be, financially, the church will be fine. Don't worry about it. And it happened exactly the way the Lord said. So I want you to know, we thank you because God sent you so that we could finish this whole thing that we were called to do. So
amen.
I thank and praise you. And those other people, I hope they went to churches that they can continue to get medicine. But, you know, if you're giving people medicine and then they're still doing everything they can to do to stay sick, it's kind of like you're working and working and working and you're not getting any results. And that's what God saw. So let's pray out. And here we go. God said to Moses, Moses, when you see my people, make sure you say this to them. Say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarekha Adonai v'yishvarekha. Ya'er Adonai panavilecha v'chunecha. Ye'aseh Adonai panavilecha v'yasim l'kai shalom. Baruch Abba, we'll see you next week. I forget what I was going to say. Oh, we'll send the test out. I'm trying to say something. We'll send the test out this weekend, and then you'll get 2 weeks to study. And so, Leitrio Beshavuach Abba, the Yom Hamashi, on Thursday, okay? God bless you.
Wonderful.
All right.